Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right, so right now we're checking out Atari. We're visiting, you know, good friend Michael here. Been on the show now a couple of times.
Thanks, and Danny. Good to see you again.
And you guys are here at E3, man. So what is it that Atari is doing right here, promoting?
So, yeah, so the main focus for Atari at E3 this year is very much, it's all about the games. So there's a bunch of console games that we've got coming out, and, you know, the producers will talk to you more about those. But, you know, some flashback stuff, some new stuff, some VR stuff, a lot of exciting Atari games on display and being demoed for press and all that. Then the other side of the games equation has been the Atari VCS side of the games equation. We're not doing any kind of presentations. We're doing a few select press.
Yeah, which is good. Which is good.
Interviews like this one. But primarily we're focused on business development and relationships. We've got a lot of conversations on the business side and in terms of, you know, content that we've been having, that we have are continuing today. We're working towards closing, and we've, you know, started some new conversations. You know, the beauty of the Atari VCS is this Linux platform, which makes it really easy for someone who's already got a Linux port of their game to move it over. And, you know, there are some big publishers and some small studios that have been really, you know, very attentive to the Linux platform. So that bodes well for us to have a lot of really good games when, you know, the console or the platform, I should say, really ships in 2019.
Yeah, I know you guys, during the launch of the Indiegogo campaign and stuff, you highlighted a couple of indie developers that are now going to be working on with you guys for games for the VCS.
Right, those are the ones that we can talk about.
And sure. I think it's good that you guys are highlighting that, because, you know, to me, indie games is super important.
Absolutely.
There's been
That's
indie
the future.
Games.
You know, today's indie is tomorrow's AAA, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You never know where something's going to go.
Yeah, and some of them make games that is different than the regular publishers, you know, they're always putting out.
Well, they can take more chances, right?
Yeah, they love taking risks.
There's more creativity.
Definitely.
And that's actually, you know, a big part of what the Atari community has become now, too, and why we're doing things the way we are with the Atari VCS. We're, you know, we're doing this open platform as, you know, so it starts with sort of an homage physically to the classic, you know, 2600 and how the console looks and hopefully the emotions it evokes in the classic fans. But the idea really is, you know, to have this platform that, you know, has this open sandbox, that this Linux sandbox that creative types and creative game you know, fans can, you know, mod and create, and, you know, like I said, studios can port their things over very easily and develop things and be creative in the sandbox. It's one of those things where, you know, when you build a tool and then you put it in people's hands, that's when you really find out what the tool can really do. And that's one of the exciting things about the VCS. It's you know, so it's not a closed platform like the other consoles. It's wide open. You know, obviously it has some limitations in terms of what the hardware can do, because you're limited sometimes, but you know, it's going to play a lot of games, and like I said, a lot of these conversations we're having are going to make people really happy when we're able to announce them. But it's a process, you know what I mean? And a lot of people with this Indiegogo campaign, this may be their first exposure to a crowdfunding process. It's really important that people understand that this is the beginning, and you know, we're essentially with this crowdfunding, we're doing all the marketing before the product instead of after the product, which is how, you know, sort of traditional marketing works. But you know, a lot of what we're doing, it's a journey, right? And the reason we did the crowdfunding was because of the crowd. You know, you're not doing it for the funding if your target is $100,000. We're doing it for the crowd because we care about the community. We want to hear what they have to say. We want to know what they think of the box. We want to know what they think of the specs. And trust me, they're telling us what they think. It's great, you know. And some of the things we're taking everything to heart. Some of the things we're going to be able to impact for sure, and some of the things we're going to have to push down the road, you know. But the beauty of the way we're doing the VCS is that it's going to be a living, breathing thing, and that what it's delivering on day one versus what it's delivering on day 101 versus what it's delivering on, you know, day 10,001. You know, I'm being optimistic. It's going to be around.
It's true. Yeah.
But you know, that it's going to go through an evolution because, again, you're putting this tool in people's hands. And look, you know, there's guys out there making new games, brand new games for the 2600 and the 5200 and you know, loading them up on cartridges and all that. We're trying to take this to sort of the next, you know, bring it into today. Mm-hmm. But we want to capture a lot of that, you know, enthusiasm and creativity that's out there, and you know, reward the fans with a box that is a lot more contemporary and like has the online connectivity and has the expandability in terms of, you know, what they can do with it and storage and, you know, cloud options and things like that and streaming and entertainment. And of course, going back to the very beginning, we also made something that is beautiful and will, you know, look great out on your entertainment center instead of being tucked underneath like the other black bricks.
Yeah, and here's the thing too. To me, as a fan of gaming, I think it's a point to have that communication with the consumers, right?
No, absolutely.
And of course, you can have those people that are gonna post negative stuff, whatever. But here's the problem. I think if you want to have
what they say, what? As long as they're talking about you, yeah, you're doing something.
Yeah,
right,
it's promotion.
Right?
Yeah. So. But here's the thing. I think to me personally, that's not the great way to give out feedback. Have a conversation, and at the same time, there's probably things that the consumers will learn from you guys, and there's stuff that you guys are going to learn from the consumers, and it goes both ways.
It's a mutual education process.
Exactly,
for sure. And
exactly.
That is very much why we did it this way, and why, because, you know, look, we've been out of the hardware game for a long time, and, you know, we tiptoed in last year with our wearables, with the speaker hats, and we did very well with it. We've sold thousands of them.
I have a blue one, love it.
Yeah, and people who get them love them, and they buy seconds and thirds. It's just crazy. Yeah. So, you know, but we didn't know how that was going to be taken. We knew there were going to be skeptics who were going to, like, say, oh, that's so stupid, a hat with speakers. But everybody who tries it really actually just gets captivated by it because it's a high-quality piece. It's it's a really high-quality hat, and it's really good audio for a hat, you know, for hat audio, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, it's kind of like audio AR, and you're not, like, shutting out the world. You're seeing, you know, you're seeing people, you know, find new ways to use it, you know, whether it's like the sneakerhead guys or the action sports guys or the esports guys, they all love it, you know, because it's, you know, you're not closing your ears off with cans or earbuds. People like it. You know, people like being able to hear the world and talk to their friends. And, so that was like sort of step one. And we've got other wearables that we're working on, and we'll talk about those when they come out, because I know you'll be into them.
Ooh, but, snap. He knows. He knows
what's but, you know, with the Atari VCS, like I said, we've been out of the hardware game for a long time. And, you know, and the decision process that got us to the Indiegogo decision was a number of things. But first and foremost, it was that community interaction that you talked about. Because if we just built a product and put it out there, it's finished. It's done. It's take it or leave it, right? Whereas this way, we set this thing up a year ahead of delivery while there's still time to impact it and make some changes if, you know, they make sense economically, they make sense, you know, in terms of features and benefits. And that's a huge, huge part of what this is about. So, you know, so look, is it frustrating and you know, does it make me sad when people are knocking the product because it's not what they want it to be? Mm-hmm. Of course, but, you know, we're going to try our best to make as many people happy as possible.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly,
and that's really the objective. And, and, you know, still, like I said, you know, retain sort of that spirit of what the Atari brand means to people. And it means a lot to people. I mean, that's the other thing we're seeing is just, you know, there's so many people who are writing to us since this thing went live that are just so thankful. And they, you know, they're so excited to, you know, to have an Atari game system in their house again one day. And so that kind of stuff is that's the kind of stuff that motivates you to keep going and, you know, bang out the improvements and make it, you know, the best Atari VCS it can be.
Yeah. And I even mentioned to you that my grandmother introduced me to gaming.
Right, yes.
But she just bought an Atari 2600 for me and for my cousins, not knowing what was going to happen. Look, years later, it influenced me to be a content creator and do other things because of the product.
So many people I talk to about that, you know, and they have the exact same thing. And it brings back, you know, I mean, same here. I mean, I was a kid and, you know, my sister and my stepbrother and, you know, we were playing, you know, all the various games on the 2600 when we were kids. And, you know, and it was, you know, you just get, you know, sort of warm fuzzies, right? You remember mm-hmm. like all that stuff and why you are doing it. And that's mm-hmm. such a huge part of the Atari brand.
And I know there's a lot of older gamers that are fans of Atari. I know yep. you guys also have like collections of like old games for different systems, right? You want to talk about that?
I can talk a little bit about that.
A little bit,
but yeah. I prefer you talk to the producers okay. who are managing those games. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, we're coming out with, so we already have the flashback games that are available on Xbox and PlayStation, Chapter 1, Chapter 2. Chapter 3 is coming. And then there's awesome. A version for the Nintendo Switch that's coming, which is going to be great.
I think that's the one I might play.
Yeah, that's the like one that I got to play. You might like that one, and right. you'll test that out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, the Roller Coaster Tycoon games continue to do well. We have mm-hmm. the Roller Coaster Tycoon Touch on mobile, which has, you know, a couple hundred thousand, you know, daily mm-hmm. active users, which is great. You know, people love that game. And there's other versions coming out for the Switch. Sorry.
It's okay.
For the Switch. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, the Roller Coaster Tycoon Joyride, which is the PlayStation exclusive VR version, which you got to try.
It's, oh, that's awesome.
It's
definitely got to
try. Crazy. It's yeah. definitely awesome.
But let's go back to the console real quick.
Sure.
Have you guys announced anything new for this week? I haven't, honestly, we
deliberately, you know, we had a couple of meetings that may lead to some big announcements very soon.
Yeah, because I think that's what you said during
that's
our
what I
last
said when
interview.
We, yeah, that like we're going to go to E3 and we're all business, you know, we're going to do a couple of meetings and interviews mm-hmm. like this one. But yeah, it was all about like getting out there, finding, you know, these publishers and developers and studios that we've been talking to for a while, mm-hmm. you know, through email and phone conferences and, you know, put faces.
Yeah, exactly.
To faces. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there's a couple of exciting things that, you know, there's a bunch of exciting things that I know, but I can't talk about
it
yet.
It's
right?
okay.
You know,
it's
but,
okay.
But we'll get there.
But I think it will be great. You know, a couple announcements, you know, during the campaign, what, you know, from now to the end,
that
right?
That's what we intend. Yeah. And I think our fans will be happy with some of the stuff we're going to drop.
That's
your
awesome.
Fans will be happy with some
Hell
of the stuff
yeah,
we're going to
yeah,
drop.
Yeah.
And it's going to be good.
Cool, man. No, Michael, I just want to say thanks, man. You always, first one always will be on the show. Let's do this record, man.
I love talking to you guys and say hi to Pete
in Paris.
In Paris. Yeah. And
definitely, man. Thanks a lot, man.
All
until
right.
next time.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.